Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The nine Beatitudes that begin Jesus' excellent Sermon on the Mount are quite famous. When our Lord makes us lists, it helps us remember. 12 disciples, 10 commandments, 9 Beatitudes. And we see today in our first lesson, the book of Revelation is especially keen on numbers and numbering. Not only the total of the 12 tribes were sealed, but elsewhere, 7 scrolls, plagues, so on. Numbers are memory aids when paired with ideas and concepts. They also help us to sort and to classify. What then is the common theme, the common denominator of these 9 Beatitudes, such that Jesus finds reason to list them together here? When we consider them all together, the common factor is hope. Hope is being happy because of a promise that is sure to come, not necessarily because of what's happening right now. Hope works on a principle of delayed gratification, that you can tolerate the present because of what is coming in the future. Hope also moves the soul to contentment. It is well with my soul. There's a tension between our present struggles and the glory that is to be revealed. And attending to this struggle, not ignoring it, not suppressing it, not giving in to it, but attending to this struggle without losing hope on the one hand and without quenching the spirit on the other is the mark of the Christian on earth. It is the purpose of the church. It is why we are not supposed to neglect the coming together of the saints, because we are all in this struggle. And we need to build one another up in the Word because we live in hope. Hope is not seen. Hope is heard. With the 9 Beatitudes, blessings for those who might not be tracking. With the 9 Beatitudes, Jesus is making 9 arguments, putting forth 9 assertions that rest on his authority. These points all rest on hope, and they have to be asserted as promises from heaven, because they are not promises that will be found on earth. Because heaven and earth are at war over who gets to define the blessed life or the happy life. The world says that the happy life is where you find a balance in your life. The world says that when you minimize tensions and take charge of those things that seem to be getting in the way of your present goals, that is how you find happiness. For the earthly minded, life is about becoming comfortable in your present environment, or else seek to change that environment. And many people go to therapists, psychiatrists, and counselors to help them manage how they can do this. How can I set up boundaries in my life? How can I find the courage and clarity to say no to others rather than giving in for fear of reprisal or judgment? How can I take charge of my life? And there's a famous prayer, though it's quite new in the history of creation. It's called the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and wisdom to know the difference. I'm sure you've heard that prayer before. I'm not saying it's a bad prayer, but I want you to notice something. What is prayed for is the whole purpose of cognitive therapy, which in itself can be achieved without God's help, without God's word, and without reference to a Savior. All this to say that the world seeks peace and contentment as well. It seeks the beautiful life, or what it conceives it to be. And there is a wisdom, and there is a wisdom there that realizes and that is found in recognizing that there are some things that you don't have the power to change. And there is contentment, which is peace, in having the ability to accept those things without fear. Now, all this to answer the question, what are the Beatitudes doing? Well, they are Jesus setting the record straight for those who can actually believe in things not seen. The world looks toward outward appearances, but God sees the heart. And from the Mount, Jesus says with absolute authority that those people who lack confidence in themselves, who struggle and who keep up the struggle, they are the ones who are truly blessed. They are the ones who truly have reason to be happy, because God has prepared all things for them. They need not fear what the world can do to them, because God is ordering all things to be united in His Son, who will conquer and obtain and has obtained the keys to death and Hades. And He will lead His blessed dead into the resurrection of the just. They cannot change their sinful condition, but He can. And those who wait upon their captain will not be put to shame. You see, the blessed life isn't those who figure out how to minimize the struggles against sin. You can do that by giving into it. But Jesus says, you who fight the good fight are blessed. You don't give in to sin to avoid the struggle, but you struggle against the sin, not because you will overcome it, but because He has. And He will give you the victory as you endure to the end and do not give up the struggle. This makes Christians, true Christians, the ones who are truly meek, truly the poor in spirit, truly the mourners, truly those starving for righteousness. It's the ultimate irony that the helpless are the ones who are truly blessed. And now this has spiritual meaning. There are plenty of helpless and pitiable people who have made shipwreck of their lives and that still aren't blessed. But that's because they don't know Christ, the power of His redemption, and the contentment of His peace. And there are those whose lives are successful, according to the world's standards. But somehow Christ has taken their camel through the eye of a needle. They are regarded in the world, and yet, like St. Paul preaches, I count all things rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. As the church, we constantly attend to this struggle between God's word and the world. There is a tension between the two, and we are called to live in that struggle with contentment. This involves accepting the one thing that we cannot change for sure. That is God's word. It is eternal, and though heaven and earth pass away, it will not. We cannot change God's word to save people, to grow our church, or anything like that. It's sheer foolishness. This also involves courageously changing the things we can, how we choose to live our lives in response to that word. And it involves the wisdom to know the difference. Godly wisdom, not wisdom from the world. Some think they can resolve the Christian struggle here by changing the word to conform to the changing world. This is foolishness. Some think they can resolve the struggle by refusing to respond to God's call and resigning everything to fate that will be come out in the wash in the end. No, we accept God's word. We strive to live according to His commands. This is a struggle that we, as saints on earth, will live with until the end. We will lose many shallow opportunities in this world as a result. But we are the ones whom Christ calls blessed. But the saints in heaven are blessed in a different way. They are blessed without hope. We are blessed despite our struggles. They are blessed because they have attained to a life without that struggle, by obtaining the promised deliverance to glory. They live now in God's presence with no more tears or suffering or anything that is the result of living in a kingdom that it is in constant tension with God's righteous word. They live that word without any opposition. We weep when they die. They weep for us as we live, because our struggle is not over. But they have run the race. They have kept the faith, and they have received the crown of eternal life that they cast before the Lamb on his throne, who was slain before the foundation of the world. The Lamb who died, and behold, he lives and reigns to all eternity. He is the help of the helpless. To those whom the world considers cursed, he calls blessed. Blessed be his name now and forevermore. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.